lesson number 9, Sabbath, Covenant Sign and Seal. We noticed that there was a covenant sign that God gave to Noah after the flood. Noah had nothing to do with the rainbow. That was God's sign. There was a covenant sign with the new covenant relationship that God entered into with Abraham. But this was a covenant sign that Abraham had to carry out. He had to perform surgery upon himself. He had to cut himself. At Sinai, God gave attention to still another sign. He says, "The Sabbath shall be a sign between me and you." Now God kept the Sabbath, man kept the Sabbath. There was a mutuality here. The Sabbath is a sign. Now you may have heard me say before, Robert Cox, 100 years ago, suggested an etymology for the word Sabbath in his book, Septenary Institutions. He suggests that the ash of Sabbath, which is found in Elizabeth, or when it's alone as off, that the ash, eth, or off, means sign, mark, such as you might see indicating a barber shop down a busy street. The B, the Beth, in front of the F or As or Off, is an inseparable preposition which means in or at. So Bath or Beth means in or at the sign of whatever is indicated. Now the Sab part of it, Cox suggests, comes from the word Ab, which means father, and the S, he suggests, is an abbreviation of the Hebrew word Ish, which has the connotation of vir, the Latin vir, manly, virtue. So Sab would be manly, honorable, virtuous father. The Sanskrit Sahib, or the Druidical Tsab, he suggests, may have come from the same root. So Sab then would be honorable father, and Bath at the sign off. So Cox suggests that Sabbath might mean at the sign of the revered father. And the reason why it hasn't been translated is that it's really untranslatable. And the Lord, leaving it in Hebrew, transliterated in our Bible, is calling attention to the important place of Sabbath as his sign. Part number one. The point of origin of this sign, of course, was creation. On the seventh day, God created the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was made for man. It was not just a sequence of 24 hours, but it was specially designed. It was made. It was created for man. And in the Sabbath, God rested. And I like that word rest as it is found in the story of Naomi and the thought of a husband and the rest in the house of a husband, the fulfillment, the achievement. God rested the Sabbath day, not because he was weary, but in satisfaction with his 6 days of work. He hallowed it, that is, he set it apart, and he blessed it, that is, he empowered it to fulfill the purpose for which he had created it, which was a vehicle for sanctification for man, and for reminding man that he was the creator. The Sabbath, then, was created as God's sign. It is sometimes said in some lexicon that the Sabbath means rest. I don't think it does. Rest is the product of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day in which we contemplate what we have done in 6 days, what God has done in 6 days. We set it apart for him. We worship him, we remember him as the creator and sanctifier, and then we have rest for our souls. It is after we have taken the yoke of service, it is after we have learned the revelation of his will, that we gain rest for our souls. And the rest is not lying down in sleep, but it's the satisfaction gained by contemplation, worship, reverie, recollection of all the things that God has done for us and means to us. We must labor, Paul says in Hebrews 4, to enter into that rest, and we must stop our own work as God stopped His. So there is labor before rest, there is cessation before fulfillment. Part number 2, taught in the wilderness. The Sabbath was re-taught to Israel after the Exodus. It is reiterated in Exodus 6. Pharaoh complained that you, Moses and Aaron, let the people. The word let there is hinder the people from their work. And you make them rest. So right at the beginning of the ministry of Moses, as he worked with Israel, he says, you have got to stop working on 7 days and you have got to rest. Then the manna called attention to the seventh-day Sabbath. Double portion Friday, no portion Sabbath, no fermentation or rot on the Sabbath. Enough food on Friday to last them over till the beginning of the next week. Then the law was given at Sinai, including the Sabbath. That's the third way God used to call attention to the Sabbath. The fourth way was the stoning of the lawbreaker, the Sabbath breaker. So by four means, God called attention to the seventh-day Sabbath to Israel on their way to Canaan land. Part number 3, then God made the Sabbath a covenant sign. The Israelites were to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it from generation to generation as a lasting, everlasting, age-during covenant seal. It was to be a sign between me and Israel forever. Remembering that in 6 days God had made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day stopped working. Now there are some who say the Sabbath is a memorial of salvation. I somehow don't think so, because of what Ellen White has said. In the Sabbath there is nothing of a shadowy, anticipatory nature. The Sabbath is wholly commemorative. It turns our minds back to creation. It is one in a series of signs, such as the rainbow and circumcision. It is the particular sign by which we may know the Creator. The bow was one kind of sign that God would never again destroy the world. The Sabbath is another kind of sign that God is the Creator, that He is the one who made relationships in the beginning. He is the one that will maintain relationships. Relationships were an exhibition of His love. The Sabbath is a memorial of that love in relationships. Part number 4, the sign of sanctification. Sanctification is the daily restoration in the sinner's life of the ideals of perfect relationships. God says, I will sanctify you. I will give you relationships that will be ideal. If you will keep the Sabbath, if you will take your foot from the Sabbath, from claiming any part of it, call the Sabbath a delight, honorable of the Lord, worship Him, not doing your own words or ways or speaking your own words, then I will do for you. So here again is an if. Man must choose. So every Sabbath day, when the sun sets on Friday and the day begins, we should say, I choose to observe this Sabbath. Lord, help me think your thoughts, speak your words, act in such a way that will please you, so that during this hour that thou hast blessed, its exercises might help to fulfill in me that sanctification, that holiness, which is pleasing to you. Part number 5, the Sabbath was made for man. It's tailor-made. It's designed for him. When something is made for me, when something is made to fit into a corner, then it is unique. And the Sabbath was uniquely made for man's need. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This, of course, means that it existed prior to this declaration. You cannot remember anything that didn't exist before. So in the very wording of the Ten Commandments, the pre-existence of the Sabbath is given. It's a sign between me and you. It is a personal relationship between God and the individual. It is nothing general. It is something very personal and very specific. Part number 6, the seal of God. The seal of God contains his name, the Creator, title. It contains his jurisdiction, heaven and earth, sea and all that in them is. It contains the duration and the date. Every document must have a date. This date, when I made heaven and earth, creation week. Its duration, as long as God exists. Its extent, his creatures, his creation, his created universe. Its authority, that he is the creator. And so the fourth commandment is the seal of God. Contains his name, he is the Lord, his position, the creator, his extent of jurisdiction, heaven and earth. It's dated from the beginning to the end. Now the seal of God and the mark of God is going to be placed in the forehead and in the hand. The forehead, the issues of life, the thoughts, the intents, the hands, the work, the activity of mankind. Now, as we think of the Sabbath as the seal, it points us to the covenant. It points us to God's part in that covenant. It points us to the Creator and His creation which we have fractured. It reminds us that we have broken the old covenant, that He has made with us a new covenant, that He is love and merciful and steadfast and El Shaddai in His affection. It calls upon us to accept this sign, this mark of sanctification. We need to be sanctified. We need to have the old nature removed. We need to have the new nature infused. The Sabbath is his sign. He demands that we keep it. He puts it in his commandment. He reminds us day by day, as he did with the food he gives to us, that he is the one that maintains, that sustains, that loves, that wishes us to come into this relationship with him. Now in the final days, the issue is going to be the mark of the beast or the seventh-day Sabbath. Either the mark of God or the mark of the beast. The seal of God, the seal of the beast. Which is it going to be? Here again, the options are opened as they were at the beginning. The serpent will be manifest at the end as he was at the beginning. He seduced Eve, and through Eve he seduced Adam. In the last days he is going to seduce through the woman, Babylon the harlot, the whole world, to accept that mark. Meantime, the still small voice is wanting to enter into a new covenant relationship with all God's people, with a mark, with a seal, that we might choose to obey and live and escape disobeying and dying. The covenant surely pervades the whole salvation story.